Tonight we are chatting with a favorite Rose friend, Jacques Farrar. Jacques is the Vice President and Rose Program Manager of Star Roses and Plants. Now Jacques is always traveling around the world to bring us the very best in roses, and we can't wait to hear the latest rose news. You know what they say, if you can dig a hole, you can plant a star.
That's right, Teresa. Jacques joins us today to talk about the hottest trends in gardening, as well as the new introductions from Star Roses and Plants. Y'all stay with us. The Rose Chat podcast starts now.
It's time for the Rose Chat podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Hey, Jacques, welcome back to Rose Chat. It's so good to have you.
Yes, thank you for having me back. It's always fun. So let's start.
Let's get going. You know, today it was 11 degrees in my neck of the woods, 11 degrees. But somewhere, roses are being harvested. And since I live in the middle of corn and soybean country, I know a little bit about the harvest. And I know there's a lot of big machinery involved.
First let me say that, right now in California and Arizona, we're breaking all sorts of heat records. So, it's in the 70s and 80s, which is actually a little too warm, really, for that time of the year. But, the rose harvest is really past its peak a little bit. It used to be that most of the roses would be harvested between mid-January and mid-February, but that has changed now. And the harvest starting earlier and earlier, and this is due mostly to the pressure from the customers wanting their roses earlier and earlier.
Well, I do enjoy my corns and beans, but I sure wouldn't mind seeing a big semi-truck full of roses coming down my street. How about you, Chris?
It's warming up here in Alabama already. We only have about 3 days of winter most years, so I'm ready to plant. So,
and actually, Chris, we have shipped truckloads after truckloads of roses in your neck of the wood over the last 6-8 weeks. I think the first truck to Alabama and Florida went probably around December 20th or something like that. So, yes.
Well, it's a good thing I don't know their truck schedule. There could be a hijacking or something. So. Speaking of different climates and different areas of the country, there's, sort of a new buzzword in the rose world called regionality. And I'd love to get your thoughts on regionality and how that plays into the big picture at Star Rose.
Well, for us, we've been big proponent of that over the last few years. Actually, we have a new project that we call My Hometown Roses that are really geared for that regionality, because most plants, not just roses, are regional. And it's very rare instance where you get one species or one variety of plant that would go well, will do well from Chicago to Alabama or from Seattle to Miami. So yes, I think it's just the realization by the industry as a whole that the one fits all model that was really pretty much the idea behind the All America Rose Selection Program. That model is obsolete and needs to be replaced by regionality. Absolutely.
There are already some rose trials set up that are regional in nature, aren't there?
Yes, there are. And also, for us, within Star Roses and Plants, we have actually, private trials in 14, gardens all over the U.S. that we send the codes before they get introduced to see in the areas where they're going to do well. And therefore, that will help us decide in which region we will, push those varieties as opposed to try to blanket push them all over the country.
So the My Hometown Rose for New York probably is not going to show up in an Alabama garden center.
That chances are they're not. Yes, I mean, and depending on the region, you know, if you're in the Pacific Northwest, which is a great climate for roses, you know, your selection will be much wider than it is in Alabama, where, as we all know, you get a little bit of disease pressure.
We could call my backyard rose hell sometimes in the summer. I know y'all have your own personal rose hell that you do your trials in, but.
Yes, we're trying to make sure that we'll have the right roses for you, Chris, in Alabama, and for you, Teresa, in Illinois.
Well, I can tell you that when he mentioned 3 days of winter, I just kind of had to stop for a moment because we get months and months of winter. So roses have got to be pretty hardy to withstand that. I think it's going to get down to the wind chill factor will be at below zero tonight. So, yeah, wow. Our roses, we expect something else out of our roses, and that is hardiness.
No question. And to give you an idea, you know, we don't have a test garden in Alabama, but we have one at LSU and another one at the IFAS Research Station in Apopka, Florida. And for you, Teresa, we got one in Milwaukee and one at the Chicago Botanic Gardens, so, and one in Minnesota.
See, that's good news for us.
What we're trying to do, we make sure that we test the roses, you know, in the right places.
You know, that's just absolutely essential, I think, today when people are so, you know, budget conscious about what they put in their gardens and the dollars that they spend, you know, to know that you all are investing that much into the research of the regionality of a rose, I think means a lot to folks. But, you know, one of the hot trends in gardening right now is micro gardening. And I know you've had a little bit of experience with that yourself, Jacques. Could you weigh in on that?
Yeah, you know, I'm one of those baby boomers that became an empty nester and decided to downsize the house in a, you know, not bad place into a condo in a really nice place. And when you come to live in a condo, you know, you have a much smaller yard than you had when you had your home. And the advantages are no more, you know, lawn to mow and things of that nature. But you got to become very creative if you still, you know, love to garden. And actually, I find it quite challenging and quite interesting because you deal a lot with containers and very small space. And in some cases, you know, even in sunny California, you have a lot of shade because you get fences, you know, and maybe 10 or 15 feet between the fences. And, you know, the sun doesn't get that very often. So it's really interesting. And I see that more and more also with the millennials at the other end of the spectrum. Cannot afford homes and lives in also in condos or apartments and wants to try their, you know, their luck with plants. And so, you know, micro gardening, the way we call it, is really something that is becoming bigger and bigger, no question.
I know that the Drift series of roses has proven to be excellent container plants here in our neck of the woods. And, you know, we're seeing lots and lots of those. You know, I think we've added, we probably have 20 or so drifts in various color combinations in our garden. And, you know, a lot of them growing in containers and they seem just to fill out very well. And
the biggest challenge with roses in container is the watering. As you know, roses are woody plants. They're not, vegetative annuals. And, it's absolutely critical to keep them, you know, moist or water. Now, I understand in Alabama, that's not a problem because it rains pretty much year round. But in places where, you know, the summer is dry, like California or even, you know, the Pacific Northwest or even where you are, Teresa, you can have a spell of, you know, a week or 2-3 weeks without rain. And that's really the critical factor. I think, you know, there are roses like the Drift, and we're working on more in that direction, you know, roses that would be fully adapted to container growing and selected for that capacity. I think it's the next challenge, you know, for us and for the breeders we work with.
You know, it seems like I read something recently that Drifts have now been introduced in France.
Yes, I mean, they've been introduced in France and in Europe as a whole. I think it's, you know, they were first shown there a couple of years ago at a couple of trade shows, but now they are getting widely available, you know, from actually the breeder, the House of Meillan. What is interesting is that they bred the roses. We developed the concept here. And now they're using it back over there.
So it's come full circle for them.
Well, one of the things that I love to do with the drifts, and I probably have 25 or 30 in my garden as well, and they just do beautifully. So, you know, that's two regions that we know of. They're doing super well for Chris and for me. But I love to give them as gifts, because if you've got someone who's saying, well, I think roses are too difficult, you know, give them a drift, because they aren't difficult and they do bloom all summer and they do hold up well in different conditions, and they're great in a vase and they just make your garden pop. So it's a great gift to give someone who's thinking, I don't know about roses.
And you know what, Teresa, going back to the originality, the drifts are really the counterexample of that. To my knowledge, it is the only rose series that we have in North America that works well, from Southern California to Maine, mm-hmm. and from Florida to, you know, to Seattle. And even they are also proven, some of them, to be, root hardy zone 3. So now they are actually getting good feedback from Canada as well, from the plains. So, and also the mountain states. So they work everywhere. It's very rare when you can find a rose, and even more than a rose, a plant, a species or a series that, that will, the same plant that would work well in all those areas. And, I think, because of that, we just have scratched, the surface of what we can do with drift, because they really work everywhere.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Now, another trend that we're seeing in roses and hearing a lot about are garden roses. And so when you hear the term garden roses, what does that term mean to you?
Well, it depends who I talk to. When I talk to, people like you, it means most likely, hybrid teas and varieties of that nature that you can bring to a rose show or enjoy, in your home, either just in the landscape or, cutting the flowers and bringing them inside. For my, rose grower customers, cut flower grower or fresh flower growers, it means a new set of roses that are developed for the florist trade, but have the look and the fragrance of garden roses. And that's a very interesting trend. You're going to see that more and more. You see in magazines such like at Martha Stewart and so forth, where it's, definitely a trend that is becoming bigger and bigger every year. It's interesting, because those varieties are actually really selected for greenhouse production and not as for the use in the garden, but they still call them garden roses. Now, there are some crossover varieties, like one that we're introducing next year in our catalog at Star Roses and Plants, called Princess Charlene de Monaco, which is a very fragrant, very large hybrid tea type with an English look. So it's going to be part of our Romantica series, but it's also doing really well in as a florist rose. And the most popular for us of these is a rose named Yves Piaget, which is a really good garden rose for you, Teresa, and for you, Chris, providing you spray it quite a bit. And it's a fantastic cut flower rose as well. So.
I'm a former florist, and I can think of all of the brides that came in, and they wanted something that looked just like it was picked out of the garden. So not so much on Valentine's Day did we hear that, or Mother's Day, but when we did bridal work, the brides wanted to carry something that looked like it had been picked from the garden, and that was a very fun thing for me as a gardener. So I love this trend. I love to give flowers that are picked from my garden, but the fact that the industry is going in that direction, I think that more beautiful roses are going to be in more homes. So that's really good news to me.
You were at the vanguard here, Teresa, because right now it's really the biggest trend in bridal work and the florists, and that's why they also like to mix things like hydrangeas with the roses for the same reason. And it's, mostly those roses, you're absolutely right, are mostly used in bridal work or for events, and not just weddings, but things where, like you say, people want to get the feel of the roses they got in their garden in a floral arrangement.
Well, there are several in your Romantica series that I would consider those kind of roses. I have Pretty in Pink in my garden, and it has that big, luscious bloom. And I've got Pink Traviata on my wish list. That's another big, luscious bloom. So there's lots that star roses and plants have that are going to be used in that way.
All this talk about florist roses and new trends in roses, you know, brings me to the 2016 introductions from Star Roses. It's pretty exciting lineup. I saw some of these at an event in South Carolina a couple of weeks ago. Jim Darden was a presenter at this event, and he gave us a preview of some of these. So I'm excited to be able to talk about some of them.
No, we're very, I mean, again, this is for us is a continuous effort, as you know. And in terms of the new introduction, we try to mix and match, for the different regions. This regionality that we were talking about earlier. So, I think for us, the most exciting one is the new addition to the Drift series. We have a pure white called White Drift, which has a double flower, that is very similar to Sweet Drift. Maybe the most vigorous of all the drifts, but it's still very compact and has all the characteristics. And, so this is our Drift edition for 2016. We also have great color additions, but those are more like what we call West Coast roses, which mean that are roses that from the background are really well suited for the climate and the lack of disease of California. We also, and those are Polynesian Punch, which is like a kaleidoscope of color on a very compact plant. And Sultry Sangria, which the color is kind of difficult to describe. It's very deep purple burgundy. And we're very happy about that rose because it's one introduction from our friend Jim Spool of Bakersfield, which we have introduced a few of his varieties over the last few years, most notably the Iconics of Optimia hybrids. And that's a rose from Jim that we're very happy to be able to bring to the market. And then we got a hybrid tea that would work really well in your area, Teresa. It's called Apricots and Cream. And
it's a beauty. It is a beauty, beauty.
And it's also very fragrant. And we got a Floribonda that will work for both of you, I think, based on our trials, Chris, as well for you, called Candy Cane Cocktail. Candy Cane Cocktail is a cross between a double knockout and a cherry parfait. So it's a great, vibrant color and improved disease resistance from double knockout. So watch for those.
Cherry parfait, one of my all-time favorites. So any cross with that will
Chris,
get you a candy cane.
I'm all in. There?
I do. We have several shrubs, and we have a planting of about 20 of those shrubs at our local botanical garden, and everyone just flocks to that bed when they're in bloom.
There's another one that's spanning quite a region.
Well, we're trying, Teresa. Thank you for bringing that up. We are trying to make sure that the roses that we bring to the market will work for, folks like you and even folks. I mean, you are also experts. So we're trying to make sure that not just the experts will be successful, because the more people, like you said earlier, Teresa, about the drift, the more people realize that roses are not that difficult, and I showed some success growing roses, the more they're going to be happy with them. And it starts by us, the introducers. I think it's our responsibility to make sure to make it as easy as possible for people when they buy roses.
Now, there's a new yellow coming out. I think it's called Goldstruck, a grandiflora. I'm kind of excited about that. I'm a little bit partial to yellow.
This is a totally non-fading yellow, Chris. It's going to be really, I think, in terms of the plant habit, it is reasonably compact for a grandiflora. And also, I think the disease resistance would work in your area with some care. You know, where you at is difficult.
Jacques, thanks so much for just taking a little bit of time today to talk about some of these emerging trends and topics in regards to roses for everyone. And it's always great to have you.
To learn more about the breakthrough breeding programs and innovative introductions from Star Roses and Plants, visit their website at starrosesandplants.com. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode of the Rose Chat Podcast. Happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.